content presented on the following podcast is for information purposes only. The views and opinion expressed from hosts and caregivers are solely given based on the experiences of the individuals involved. Because each person is so unique, always consult your physician, physical or occupational therapist for medical and fitness advice. Are you struggling to help your aging parents or disabled spouse to do everyday personal care tasks? Are you concerned about them falling or you injuring yourself? What is the task that is so difficult for you to help them to do? You are not alone. We can help. Tell us your challenge. Here, you can receive practical tips and strategies from an occupational therapist and from other caregivers like yourself. And here is your host, Consuela Marshall.
Hello, I'm Consuela. And I'm an occupational therapist. And on this podcast, you get to learn about your role as a caregiver. You get to embrace your limitations, learn how to best provide for the needs of your loved one in a safe and efficient manner. And you get to know that you're not alone. Look, every caregiving story is so different. And it's you who get to write that caregiving story for your life. You get to learn how to take care of your loved ones. You get to learn how to accept that you cannot do it all. And you get to learn what to let go. And you get to learn what to pick back up, how to pick back up your life, how to walk in tune with your life while also caring for your loved one. Look, I believe you can still find a way of taking care of your loved ones while also taking care of yourself. So stay tuned. We've got some caregiving to talk about.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Caregivers Finding a Foothold. It's always a pleasure to come and share with you and give you insight about things that can save you time and effort to make that whole caregiving process a little less stressful in your life. My whole goal with Finding a Foothold is for you to find that way of making caregiving a little bit easier so that you can live more of your own life as well, while also supporting the needs of your loved one. And I want to start by saying that November is National Family Caregivers Month. And I'm always so excited for November because, first of all, it doesn't even touch the surface of being able to honor caregivers fully. But I do appreciate that the month of November is set aside to honor you all as family caregivers. And I want to say thank you so much for all that you do, because you are seen, you are heard, and you are understood. Personally, by me, I do understand the challenges of caregiving, because I was a caregiver to my mom who had strokes, and aunt who had Alzheimer's, and just other caregiving roles that I've had in my life. So I do know how caregiving definitely impacts your life. And I just want to say I honor you this month. And I want you to know that Finding a Foothold is a resource where you can reach out, tell us the challenge that you're having, and allow us to support you and give you ideas and tips that you can add into the mix of what you're already doing or trying or tried to do, or you have no clue what you're doing. Oh, look, I've been there. And maybe something that we can share with you would give you some guidance into a direction that can ease the stress of caregiving. So after saying all of that, thank you and happy National Family Caregivers Month. So in this episode, I really want to talk to caregivers who are caring for their loved ones or helping to support the needs of their loved ones, their aging parents who still live in their own home. They're still in their home. It could even be the family home that you grew up in. They're familiar with that environment. They've been there for years, and yet you've noticed lately things are not the same there. Their movements are slower, that they have had maybe even some health issues that have come up, maybe even some surgeries that have happened. And you just see the aging process take its toll. And really, you're seeing that things are not really the same. So if you're that caregiver, that family caregiver, that daughter, that son, and you're in that grandchild that's watching and you're slowing down, you can see things that just don't happen in a safe manner, or that brings you concerns about them still being in their home. Look, welcome to the club. It happens. It happens just as the progression of life. So let's talk about that aging parent that, oh, they're starting to struggle. So you're doing your visits and you're stopping by and you're noticing that they're just not as active anymore. And they're even struggling to get out of that favorite chair that they would sit in. So I want to say that it starts off real subtle, that as daughters and sons going to make those visits, whether you're visiting frequently, you're there almost every week or a couple of times a week, or you're even that son or daughter who's coming out of come out of town and you're visiting, you may pick up on those subtle things that are changing. You start to see as they're trying to get up out of that recliner or off of that sofa, they are struggling. It takes like they've done this back and forth rocking momentum to even get up. Or you're seeing things like the bathroom. It's just not as tidy as it used to be. And there may even be signs of incontinence that nobody wants to talk about, or, you know, they're not bringing those things up to you, and you really just don't know how they're functioning. And it can get progressively much worse than that, but that's where it typically starts. They're not able to do life as they normally would do. So with that, things have started to change. And you can miss that in the beginning, but then it can become a little bit more apparent when maybe they've had a fall and they've excused why this fall happened. Like, oh, that just happened because I was doing this and I wasn't really paying attention and I fell. And yeah, that makes sense. They tripped over that. But then when you start looking at the whole picture of their life in their home, and you're seeing little pieces of them being able to manage their homes and manage their personal care starts to unravel, it does bring about concern in your mind. And just quite naturally, as children and we're visiting, we're starting to do more because they just don't have the stamina. Or things like they now have a diagnosis that you are aware of, like congestive heart failure, where their legs are swelling more, and are they really able to elevate their legs? Are they able to get in and out of bed easily? They've had a stroke and have some limitations. And you're looking at all of these things, and the blessing of some of these things, there's a lot of blessings in that they were able to return to their home, even though they have some issues that are happening. And you have these concerns, and you're waiting on the shoe to drop on, when is the big thing going to happen? You're on alert if the phone rings and it's them. And you're concerned about, are they safe? I want to talk to you about just not staying in that mode of being concerned. If your radar is up and you're seeing the changes going on, our first thing is we're jumping in as caregivers and we're helping. And that is good. We need to do that. But if that level of assistance they're needing continues to grow, it can impact your ability to really manage your life and your needs, as well as to fill in all of those gaps that are happening in them being able to be safe in their home. So what do you do? There are things that you can do, and it is not always you doing more and more and more, because you can't. You will burn out, and then what was once a honor and a really delight in the bottom of your heart, although you're tired, it really brought you a lot of joy to be able to get up in the mornings and really head over to mom's and make sure everything was in place, or go by there after work and make sure things are okay. And yeah, you're balancing all of that. And it really feels good to you because you're balancing this and you're taking care of someone that wants to take care of you. But there are limits to that. Because if you look at the other side of your life, you're also taking care of other people that mean a lot to you. And you have a role to play in nurturing those things as well. And I'm not saying that one role is better than the other, that husband and children, their needs shouldn't be taken care of, or their needs need to be more important than mom's, or no, it's not about that. It is, how do I keep myself well and whole mentally and physically while I'm a caregiver and while I am still a wife, still a mom? And there does come a point where you cannot continue to fill in the gaps. And oftentimes caregivers do too much without looking at other alternatives. Instead of you doing more in mom's house to make sure mom or dad are able to function and do those personal care tasks, which are bathing, dressing, grooming, toileting, feeding themselves, if they're not functioning well in those areas, the first thing is that caregivers should be doing and should be learning to do is, how do I keep them functioning in those capacities longer so that in return it takes that stress off of me? So let's talk about that. There are things that can be done in the environment to help decrease the fall risk and increase the level of independency of your parents. I'm not saying they'll get back to their old lifestyle and then everything will be back to normal. That's not practical and that's not realistic. But there are things that can be done in the environment that can prevent you from having to be the one they get up in the morning to make sure they get out of bed without sliding on the floor, that they get dressed, they can make it to the bathroom, that they can do basic things, that even if you still have to come over in the morning to assist with things, it doesn't take so much time. So how do you do that? You set up the environment to allow for them to play into their strong points. And as a therapist who's done this for years, it's, you know, people can think that in order to do home modifications and do adaptations in the environment, all of these big things have to be done. Like, you've got to knock down walls, you've got to totally redo the house, and it's major expenses in doing modifications in the home. Yes, those can be major things that have to be expenses, but that's not all the time. There's often little adaptations in every room that can be made that can increase independence and decrease fall risk. And I'll give you an example. A mom struggles to get out of bed. Well, I got to get there in the morning because mom can't get out of bed by herself. Well, what are the options? And you're looking at mom's strengths and weaknesses and like, what struggles does she have in getting out of bed? What are some things I can do in that area that will be that support as she's going from lying down to sitting up? That's all that it takes. So you're driving 30 minutes across town. You're rushing. You try to get one child dropped off at one school. You're trying to beat traffic to drop the other one off. You've got to be at work, but mom needs to get up. I mean, there are options for bringing hired caregivers in, and at some points, hiring caregivers and having some physical support there will be needed in most cases, but oftentimes just making little tweaks in the environment, in the setup of the bed, and looking at the approach that she gets into bed or out of bed, and looking at what is her strong side. Is it easier if she got in from the left side than the right side? Let's look at the height of the bed. Is the bed conducive for her to be able to lift her legs up on the bed? So I'm saying a lot, and I want to say that with each diagnosis, there are typical trends that happen. And as therapists, nothing can work for everyone. But there is a bottom baseline, like a template that we can start with in diagnosis and say, well, this tends to be the trend in Parkinson's. So we really need to get this set in place. And you know, if you do this now, mom is going to have this in place, and this is going to allow her to remain more independent, or dad more independent in these areas. So we're looking at aging in place. And look, that's that big topic of today. The big topic of today is aging in place. How do you allow your parents to live out that desire of their heart of remaining in their home as long as possible? sometimes it is possible with the correct support in the environment. So when we're saying correct setup in the environment is, what are some changes that need to be made in the environment? What are things that have to go? What are habits that have to go? What are things that they are accustomed to doing a certain way need to be modified? And what are equipments that need to be added into the environment that's going to give that additional support that they need that is outside of you showing up on the scene and you standing on the premises? There are ways. There are ways to support your parents. So I am an advocate of allowing parents to make their own decisions, but they have to be willing to live with the consequences of it. And you have the right to make your own decisions as well. Now, there are some parents that do not need to be at home by themselves. It is totally dangerous. There's just so many holes in the bucket that there's just only so many things that can be done. And yet they're resistant to hiring caregivers. They are very risky. They're falling every day. And then you're getting the phone call and you're getting stressed out. And all of these things are going on because they are at the expense of your health and your well-being. They're making a choice to stay in their home versus being considerate of the agony and the stress that is on you looking and seeing this movie play out, because it is very stressful. But yet they want no one else to come in to help them but you. Now, look, that's a whole different topic right there, and I don't have time to really touch that, but I will say that you have the right to not play into that, and knowing that you do the part that you can do, and the rest, they have to live by the consequences of their action. That is so hard to do, and I don't have time to really break that down here, but in wrapping up this podcast, I really want to emphasize that your parents can stay in their home longer. In most cases. And oftentimes you're nagging them because you see that, oh, mom, I'm like, you need to come live with me. You don't need to live in this big house, or you're falling and you're up in an uproar because you are correctly saying things are not right in their home and that it is not safe for them to be there. But the bottom line is they have the right to stay there if they are cognitively intact. And they can make decisions for themselves, they're probably going to decide that they want to stay. So let's look at how can we allow them to stay and be safer. So let's change our tune sometime. And like, I'm going to convince them that it is time for them to come live with me. Because when you do that, you're going to be miserable because they're going to make your life miserable because it's not going to be a happy place at your home. There's something you can do. You can arm them with knowledge on how to make their environment safer. You know, and maybe you've already told them things that they should be doing. And look, you're like, Mom, you don't need to be getting in the tub anymore like that. You're going to fall. And you remember that time when da-da-da, and they're like, oh, that's not going to happen again. And da-da-da, you know, you're saying these talks and they're not listening to you. Maybe it's time that they hear it from someone else. And so in the timing of National Family Caregivers Month, I wanted to launch a new program. And it is called Staying Safe in Your Home. And it is a group coaching program. It's set up so that it tailors to you, that son or daughter who needs to know that information. Because, yes, your parents are acknowledging that they're struggling and they want to know what to do. But you don't know what to do and you don't know what to tell them. This program can give you some insight. Attending this program will really break down the common barriers that are in place for those who are having challenges living in their home. So it is tailored to you, the adult son or daughter who wants to learn more. So you'll be learning things that you can now go take into consideration and say, I think that might work for mom. And on the other side of this is catered to that mom or dad who doesn't want to hear anything from you. You're the son, you're the daughter. What can you know? You don't understand them. You just want them out of their house. And you know, they're just like, they're not listening to you. Well, maybe if they're in the room with other people, their peers, who are saying they're struggling and they're having some of the same concerns and limitations in their life as well. And they can maybe let some of the guard down and learn how to make choices for themselves and not be told what to do. I want to arm them with options that they can consider, and then it is now their doing. They're deciding to say, oh, yeah, she says something that I think that's the problem I'm having. I think I want to look at changing this. And when it becomes them making those changes and it becomes their choice, they're like, oh, I want to stay here longer. So that makes sense. I think I'm going to work on that. When you empower them to make the choices, you can end some of those battles. So I want to talk just briefly a little bit more about the group coaching, and it's called Staying Safe in Your Home. It's all virtual, all met via Zoom, and it's twice a month. Currently, I'm starting off with doing them on Tuesdays, and it is an hour session. And each time we meet, I'm talking about a different topic. I'm talking about so many areas of the home, from entry to bathroom safety, bedroom safety, living room safety, day-to-day setup, day-to-day routines, techniques, anything. I'm talking about devices, touching on people who are in wheelchairs. People in wheelchairs can stay at home by themselves, you know. People who have had amputations can stay at home, if all of the pieces to allow for that are. A given diagnosis doesn't disqualify someone from being at home. Oh, mom had to have her right leg amputated above the knee, so she has to move in with me. Well, maybe she does, but maybe she doesn't. I've seen it, double amputees that have remained in their home and done quite well. I've seen people with two legs and can walk, but cannot remain in their home because there are so many other issues and health concerns involved in that. So this coaching session twice a month, it starts this month. So it's launching in November. So yes, it's opportunity for caregivers to, instead of worrying and waiting for the other shoe to drop in the life of their parents, and it can end it up in your parent not being able to remain in their home because they've had a major event that happened because they were not safe and everything wasn't in place to allow them to be as independent as possible. So look, thanks for listening to this podcast, and check out the website. There's a page about my coaching programs, my memberships. And look, the memberships are month to month. You can sign up for 1 month and it'd be all you needed. You're like, that was what I needed. And now, yes, you don't need to come back anymore. Or your parent said, okay, I got what I needed. That's fine. But if it's something you find useful, then continue. So no long-term obligation, but I'm here to help you as a caregiver and help your loved ones stay in their home longer. So take care, and thanks for joining in today.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Caregivers Finding a Foothold. We hope you found information that was useful and encouraging to you. And we want to invite you to visit the website, findingafoothold.com, and look at the resources that are available to you there. And also, we encourage you to follow us on our social media accounts, findingafoothold.com, on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And thank you so much for being a caregiver. And our desire is that you find your foothold in caregiving. Thank you so much. And we'll see you again on next episode. Take care.